would open up to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And we are looking at preventive church discipline. And we looked at last week at preventive church discipline is maintained through having Bible standards for church membership. And that's really the key to all of it, is starting with that right there before we let anyone come and become a member here, is that we'd have some standards for them. And, you know, as we move forward as a church, hopefully we're always growing and learning, and we're going to be implementing some of those principles and practices from the Word of God about allowing people to join. One of them is going to be, and we will grow in this and as we move forward, but one of them is going to be a requirement for faithfulness and definite, dedicated faithfulness. And that's what we see in the Bible. And that's why we're doing it. Everything we do, we want to base it off the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches. And that's exactly what we see in the Bible. So we're going to implement that. And that'll be coming out. What I'm going to do is, as I finish and finalize our statement of faith, we'll probably have that in the meeting with the men, and we'll kind of just look over it real quick. And then I'm going to teach through it. And it'll probably take a good year to teach through it. So we're going to have some growing pains throughout that year. But they're all, I believe, they're going to be for the best. And we want to do that, and we want to all come along with that. And then at the end of that, as I teach through that, what we're going to do is we'll have, you can call it a special service or whatever you want, but everybody that wants to remain a member, and don't anyone jump to any conclusions yet, it's okay, we're all going to grow through this, we're all going to learn, I'm going to teach us. But at the end of that, whenever I'm done teaching through it, what we're going to do is we're going to have a time when everybody that's a member, or maybe someone that's not, and they say, you know what, I want to be a member, then it's going to be your opportunity to sign the covenant and the statement of faith, saying that you're in 100% agreement with it, and then we'll kind of re-up our membership or recommit ourselves to the Lord, and that's what we'll do. And it might be something we do every year just as a reminder of, hey, here's what we committed to, here's what we said we wanted to be, and just a reminder of the Bible principle of us being faithful. But that's one of the things we're going to begin to look for in helping us to stay a strong, healthy church, is making sure that people are dedicated and faithful to, if they want to be a member, then they're going to be dedicated and faithful to this body. That's key to it. So we want to do that. We want to implement that. That'll help us. That's part of preventive church discipline. Now, this evening, we're going to look at that preventive discipline is maintained through having Bible standards for workers and leaders. Now, this kind of goes along the same lines, but it takes it just a bit farther, and we'll see why here. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll ask God's blessing on the preaching of His Word here. Father, we come before You, Lord, asking You to help us. Lord, I pray You be with me and help me to present these truths, Lord. As I teach this, I pray that it can be a help to each of us, an encouragement to us, a challenge to us, Lord God. And I thank You and praise You for this body, Lord, that we get to be here, we get to assemble, Lord. I thank You. I love each and every person that's here, God. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this. And thank You for sending them here and bringing them into this body, Lord. It's a blessing to be here. We praise You for that. And just ask Your blessing on the preaching of Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, and I'm not going to read through all of it. We have an idea where it's at because I've been preaching through this on Sunday mornings. But it says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be, and it goes through those, not quite 26 right here, but 26 within 1 Timothy 3 and Titus, these 26 requirements for someone to be a bishop. So that's a position of leadership, okay? And then if we would also, let's go to James chapter number 3. James chapter 3, and we want verse 1. James 3:1 says, I'll wait till, sounds like everyone's there. All right. My brethren, be not many masters, and y'all get this, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. If you're going to be a master, a ruler, a leader, you're going to have greater condemnation. So this is why part of preventive church discipline, preventive discipline, so it doesn't have to get to that, is maintained by having Bible standards for workers and leaders. Now, One of the most important ways to encourage high moral standards in a church body is to maintain high standards for those who teach and who are involved in any capacity of leadership. That's one of the greatest ways to maintain and encourage high moral standards within the body, is that we would maintain those standards for those who teach and who are involved in any capacity of leadership. That's what we want to do, and that will help the body. These are the people, these leaders, those that teach, those that have a position of leadership, are people who set the moral tone for the assembly. We set the temperature in the assembly. Like, I just turned the air conditioner off for you. I set the temperature because it looked like some of you were cold. Okay, that's how the leadership is. They set the temperature for where this body's going to be. Now, let me ask you. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3 real quick, please. Revelation 3:14. When you get there, say, amen. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. I like that right there. That's always good every time I read it. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Get this here now. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now let me ask all of you, and I asked everyone in the Bible Institute this yesterday. I didn't quite word it like this, but it's basically the same thing. You know, how many of you want to be part of a lukewarm church? Just raise your hand nice and high. You say, I want to be part of a lukewarm church. Sign me up for that. Okay, now nice and high, if you're not ashamed, how many of you want to be part of a cold church? Nobody, no takers. All right, how about a hot church, an on fire church? Raise your hand nice and high if you're not ashamed. Amen. Say, I want to be part of that. I hope that you want to be a part of a church like that. Amen. That you will make this church what it is. So if you want to be part of a church like that, then that's what you need to be. That's what I need to be. This church will be what we make it. It said there, let me go back to it. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, he says, this is your church here. It's going to be what you make it. So if you want to be part of a lukewarm church, go ahead, have it. I want nothing to do with anything like that. Nothing to do with a lukewarm church, with a cold church. I want to be part of a hot church. I want to be hot. I don't want to be spewed out of Jesus' mouth, and I don't want to be so cold that you could skate down the aisle. It's no fun going to a church like that. Being in something like that. You just walk in, something's just not right. You don't know what it is, but just something's not right. I don't want anything to do with that. I'd rather be hot. Doing something for God. Our church will only be that if we make it that. Now, the leadership and what is allowed amongst the leaders will set the moral tone for the assembly. It'll set the thermostat. It'll determine if we're going to be hot or not. Because look, a babe in Christ, somebody that starts coming here and they start seeing, okay, here's how they do things. You know, and if we just allow people who aren't going to be dedicated, who aren't committed to the Lord, to be in leadership, and they, you know, they're showing up late, they're not, you know, paying attention during the preaching and things like that, what are we telling the new people that are coming in? What are we saying to them? What are we teaching them? We're teaching them it's okay to be lukewarm. It's no big deal, because what we're doing here really isn't that important. You know, we're more like a club to just come hang out on Sundays. That's honestly what we're telling them. We don't want that. That's not what we want to tell them. So if we're to practice preventive discipline, that's going to be maintained through Bible standards for workers and teachers, for leadership. They set the moral tone for the assembly. The average church member cannot be expected to live a higher standard of Christianity than his leaders. You can't expect that. That's not living in reality. If you're to expect that, if we were to expect that, it just doesn't happen. Just, it doesn't matter if it's the workplace, wherever it's at, if it's at school, doesn't matter. I mean, we've all probably been guilty of it, but we look at something or someone and, you know, maybe it's at school and the teacher says, well, I expect you to do this. And as a kid or whatever, maybe you've seen someone do it. Maybe you've done it. I know I've done it. I'm like, well, they didn't have to do it. So why do I? If the standard's not going to be held up here, if you allow it down here for somebody, but up here for somebody else, Well, then I'm going for that. That's easier. I don't want to be up here. You allowed it down here. Now, again, this is why there's going to be different standards for, you know, a leader. And even depending on what level of leader you are, some of the standards are going to be the same across the board. But, you know, for a leader versus a member, there's going to be a different standard, because you're getting babes in Christ, people who've just gotten saved. And they may have a zeal for the Lord and they're on fire and they want to follow Him, but they don't know any better. And they're learning so many things. Well, how do they learn those things? Well, nearness is likeness. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, please. Again, the average church member cannot be expected to live a higher standard of Christianity than his leaders. So 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, and this works in the reverse as well, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Those evil communications will bring them down. So like I said, you know, well, you allow it down here, you want me to be up here, but you allow this, so I'm going for that. So because I see that's what's allowed here, then that's what I want. It's going to corrupt good manners. And we don't want that. We want to avoid that. But also the reverse can be the same too. If the standard's held to right here, we say, this is the standard right here, and we hold it to right here, then that's what people will attain to. They'll strive for or either that, or they will eventually leave. Or they'll just never step into any position of leadership. But we want to bring the standard up higher for all of us, because all of us as Christians should constantly be striving to be growing and being closer to the Lord and all those types of things. That's what we should be striving for. So that's what we want. So we can't expect a church member to live a higher standard than the Christian leaders. Something that would be wise for us to do is to have written guidelines which state the various standards which are expected of any person who is looked upon as a teacher or leader in the church family. That'd be a wise thing to do. That's why I'm working on it. I'm getting that stuff together for different positions of leadership. And as we grow, and they'll develop more, and we may have different requirements and maybe break it out, and they'll get more defined. I'm working right now on those different standards that we're going to expect, and it's going to be based on the Word of God. It's going to be truths that's based on the Word of God. So really, in all honesty, none of us should have a problem with it. And I hope that our attitude isn't like, well, what's he going to say? We'll see. You know, our attitude should be like, praise the Lord. This is going to help me walk closer to God. Amen. That should be our attitude about it. That's what we should desire, but that's what we're going to do. Now, a leader sets the pattern for others to follow. I mean, that's why they're in the lead. Okay, because they follow the leader. I mean, we played that game as kids, you know. You walk along the path, and then you know, you jump, and then the people jump, you know, and then you do a little skip, and the people do a little skip. They follow the leader. They're doing what the leader does, because that's just how life is. That's just the way it works. Have you guys ever watched that video where, I forget exactly what it was. It was in a doctor's office or something like that, is the setup, and there's a video there. And everyone's in on it, the secretary to, there was like 15 people in there. Everyone was in on it except for one person that walked in, and it was like a social experiment is what they were doing. And this one person walks in, everyone's just sitting there reading a magazine on their phone or whatever. You know, they're all there to see the doctor, okay? And then what happens, I think it's like it goes beep, and then what happens is, I forget exactly, I'm trying to remember, but everyone's sitting down, they hear that beep, and everyone just stands up, and then they sit back down. I mean, that's it. They just stand up and sit back down. And the person's like, at first, like kind of, I don't think the first person really noticed right away that they did that. And then the second beep went off because she was like fumbling with stuff when everyone did it. So I don't think she noticed. But then the second beep went off and she saw everyone beep, and everyone just stands up and then sits back down. And she was just kind of like, okay. And then, or I think it would beep twice. It'd go beep, and they'd stand up, and then it'd beep again, and then they'd sit down, something like that. But then she was feeling awkward because everyone was doing it, and they wouldn't look at it and stare at her. Like, it'd be beep, and they'd be all looking at her. No, they just stay reading their magazine or on their phone. They just, as it went, they just, you know, start standing up, sitting down. Okay, and it was going on for a little bit, 3 or 4 times, and finally she's just like sitting there just feeling the peer pressure. No one's pressuring her. No one's even looking at her, but everybody's doing it. And because everyone's doing it, she's just kind of like, they're all standing up, and she just slowly looking around, and she just stands up. And they all sit down, and she sits down. And then it's just going off like nothing. Now, beep, and she's just, they're like the rest of them. Now, they're all in on it. She's not. And then they start getting called off to the doctor's office. One by one. one by one. And then it's just her by herself. Beep. She stands up, sits back down. And then somebody else walks in, had nothing to do with it, knew nothing about it. Now they come in, sit down. She's still there. Beep. She stands up. The guy looks at her. He's like, what are you doing? She's like, I don't know. I was just, everyone else was doing it. So I'm going to start doing it. I started doing it because everyone was doing it. I don't know why I'm doing it. And honestly, that's the conversation going on. Beep. She stands up and he looks at her and he's like, he starts doing it. Beep. And now they're doing it. And then more people come in that don't know about it. And next thing you know, everyone's just beep. All people that weren't involved in it, they don't know why. They're just standing up. What happened? They followed the leader. They did what other people did. Now, I don't know what I would have done. I don't. I've never been in a situation like that. Maybe I'd succumb to the peer pressure. Who knows? You don't know what you'd do either. You'd say, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, right. You don't know. Until you're in that situation, you don't know. So don't act there, get a big head, and think, we just read it, didn't we? That knowledge puffeth up. I wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, you got your head blown up so big, you're not going to fit out of those doors right there. You don't know what you'd do. I'd like to think I wouldn't do that, but I don't know what I'd do. I might just be like, with all of them, beep, beep. You know, who knows? There's no telling, but the point is that we all follow somebody. That's just within us, to follow the leader. So if we set the standard down here, then that's where everyone's going to aim for. But if we set the standard where God puts it, and we require that, then that's where everyone's going to aim for. Now here's the part where I've been kind of falling off probably, and this is my fault. Is I've tried to set the standard where God says, and in some places I haven't, and we're working on that, and I'm trying to fix those things. But for the most part, I've tried to put it up here where God wants it. Now, my failure is that I haven't enforced it. So what I've encouraged in our body is lawlessness. That's what I've encouraged, rebellion, because I haven't enforced it. I haven't enforced, really, the teachers being on time. Even ushers being on time. I haven't enforced those types of things, so that's my failure. You say, no, that's mine. Yes, but it's mine because I didn't enforce it. So if we want the standard here, then it has to be maintained here. We have to expect it, and if it's not, then whoever's has the infraction needs to be spoken to. And if the infraction continues, then it's like, well, okay, I understand, but you're not going to be able to perform your duty until you come up to par. And that's just what will have to take place. And that rests on me. That's up to me to do. Now, a leader, as I said, sets a pattern for others to follow. When people can follow godly leadership, it helps them to follow the pattern that the Lord desires. We're going to look at a few verses here. Let's go ahead and go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, we want verse 17. Now, who's writing the letter to the Philippians? Who knows? Who's the author? Paul the Apostle. Okay. Paul says to the Philippians, brethren, is Paul a leader? He's in a leadership position, right? Okay, brethren, be followers together of me. So what does he say? Be followers together, all of you, together of me. Follow me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Mark those godly leaders and follow them. That's what he's saying. Be ye followers together of me. See, the leader sets the pattern for others to follow. So if you're in any position of leadership, look, we can take this down to take it right into your house. You're a parent, an older sibling, whatever it is, you have a position of leadership. What pattern are you setting before those that follow you? If you're at work, even removing the fact that you're a Christian and you represent Him, if you have anybody, even if you say, well, I'm not in a position of leadership, well, if you've been there for 2 months longer than them, guess what? They're looking to you because they don't know how to do the job if they just come in. And they're looking to you. So you are setting an example. So if your example is laziness and trying, you know, well, I can sneak off over here and not do my job, then that's what you're showing them. But if your example is one of hard work and you go above and beyond and you do even the stuff nobody wants because they come and ask you, then you're setting an example of, hey, this is how we want things around here. I mean, it drives me crazy in places that I've worked when I've always worked with tools. And when people don't put tools back where they go, it drives me crazy because you go to get it and it's not there. When I used to work at Discount Tire, we used to have these things called, what did we call them? I don't know, torque sticks. And it was for the lug nuts so you don't over-tighten them. And they're just like long sticks, so they just kind of twist without over-tightening it with the impact wrench. And we had a set for every single stand, okay? So what you do is you would like pull into the bay like this. So the cars would come in like this and we'd always start on the left side, the left rear, and we'd work our way around to the right. So what would happen is usually about 3/4 of the way through the day, every single torque stick would end up at this bay way over here. Why? Because everyone starts on this side of the car. They'd start at the left rear tire, left front tire, go around to the right front, go around to the right rear, and then they'd walk back up and they'd put it in this caddy. And then, well, they'd do it again. So they'd do it here and they'd go around, same thing. So they'd all end up over here. I'm serious. It'd be like a pile of torque sticks. And I'd be like, man, why are you guys so lazy? I mean, how many of you, I hear all of you complain, where are the torque sticks? Where are the torque sticks? I'm like, well, you're the lazy one that left them all over here. If you would just walk an extra 5 steps and put them back where they go, we wouldn't have this problem right here. That stuff drives me crazy. But what is it? They're lazy. And then the leadership didn't enforce it and make them go put them back. Because it's not enforced, it was never kept, even though everyone complained about it. So what we need to do, and it would drive me crazy, but I'd grab them and I'd go set them all back. And that's what we need to be willing to do. We need to just, okay, nobody else is going to do it, I'll do it still. Even though no one's... They should be up here, but they're down here. I'm still going to be up here. Amen. That's what you're saying. I'm still going to be right here. Even though there's other people down here, I'm not going to live down there. I want to live up here where God says I'm supposed to live. So be ye followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. We're the ensample you can follow. We're the example. That's what he's talking about right there. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 now. 1 Thessalonians 1 verses 5 through 8. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So look at he says, ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. What was that? You could watch us. You could see what type of men we were. You witnessed it with your very own eyes. And get this, ye knew what type of men we were. Verse 6, and ye became followers of us. Now, wait a minute. Let's back up. Ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And what does it say happened next? In verse 6, the first part. You guys tell me. They know what. So the Thessalonians knew what type of men that Paul, Silas, Timothy, those that traveled with Paul, they knew what type of men they were, and they became what? Followers of who? Of them, followers of those men. They became followers of those men. Look at the next part. What does it say after that comma? And of the Lord. It doesn't have it the other way around. You became followers of the Lord and of us. Think about that. You became followers of us and of the Lord. Because they saw them. They knew what manner of men they were. They followed them. And in following them, it led them right to the Lord and followers of the Lord. That's why we want the standard up here. That's why. Not down here. If we want it down here, man, there's churches a dime a dozen that keep it down here. We want to keep it where the Lord says. Amen. And that, because they know what manner of men we are, men and women we are, they can become followers of us and of the Lord. Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now look at that right there. They knew what type of men they were. They followed them. Then they followed the Lord. And because they saw that, they themselves became examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Now look at that. Isn't that what we want? That's multiplication. Boom. Now those that fall, because we kept the standard here, they came up to here and they were able to be examples to others and bring them up. See, when leadership keeps the example where it should be, that helps everybody come up. Everyone. That's incumbent on all of us to keep that standard where we should, where God puts it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 now, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. We could have taken money. We could have had you provide for us, but we didn't want to do that. We didn't eat any man's bread for naught. But we wrought. We worked with labor, travail, night and day, so we weren't chargeable to any of you. Not that we didn't have the right to, is what he's saying. Not that we didn't have the power or the right. It would have been perfectly fine for us to take from you because we're feeding you something spiritual, so it's nothing wrong for us to reap your carnal. Okay? But not because we have not the power, but to make ourselves, here's why we did it, to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. We wanted to show you what you should be. We wanted to keep the standard right here. I said, what is it? Sacrifice. That's what he's teaching them. Leaders sacrifice. Leaders sacrifice. It's sacrifice of time. Most of the time, that's what you're sacrificing as a leader, is your time. Because, well, I got to be here early. Well, I got to spend time studying. I got to go visit this person. I got to go help this person. That's what leaders sacrifice, time more than anything. There's a lot of other things they sacrifice. But he said, look, we're not going to be chargeable unto you. We're going to work night and day if we need to. So what did they do? They worked. Paul said, we'll take care of our own needs. Don't worry about it. He's like, there'd be nothing wrong if I took from you. He says, I'm going to be an example to you. Okay? Here's the reason why I think Thessalonica had a problem with lazy men. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you. Now let me stop right there and I want to ask you guys, what type of example did he say he wanted to? Why did he say he wanted to be an example to them? So they follow him, right? That's why he wanted to be an example. So they didn't take anything from them. What did they do as the example to follow? They worked. Okay, they worked. Now, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So Paul said, look, we're working when we come and minister to you spiritually. That is work. We're working, and we have the power, the right, the authority to take from you physically for you to take care of our needs. He says, but there's an issue going on here. You got some lazy men that won't work. That's what I believe is going on right here. This is why he said this. He said, so because of that, we're going to be an example to you. We're going to set a pattern for you to follow. So we told you, if any man doesn't work, neither should he eat. So we're going to live it out. He didn't have to sacrifice like that, but he did. Why? Because he's a leader. He says, I'm going to keep the standard up here. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to show them how to follow God. I'm not just going to tell them how to follow God. I'm going to model it for them. I'm going to show them how they ought to follow God. Because I'm going to keep it right here. Not coming down here. I'm going to keep it right here. You know, a lot of people think that pastors don't work. You know, you just work one day a week. I'm like, yeah, come try it. Come try it. I'll usually say something to them if they make a remark like that. I'm like, oh, man, I got to hurry up because I got to get to the golf course. You know, I'll usually say something like that to them. I don't even golf, but because that's all they think you do. But that opinion is out there that pastors don't work. And some of them have garnered that too, because some don't work. All right. I mean, anything. They don't work. All right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, 12. Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy's a pastor, Church of Ephesus. It says, let no man despise thy youth. Verse 12, chapter 4. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in faith, in purity, charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I mixed those up. I crossed myself up. So in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He says, be an example of the believers in all these things. Why? The leaders are to be an example. What does that mean? A pattern to follow after. You can look at my life. Any leader that we have in this church, anybody that walks in here should be able to look at their life. Not that any of us are perfect. It doesn't mean that. But it means we're an example. We are following Jesus Christ and we're holding to the standards that He set. We're keeping it right here. And anybody that walks in here and sees one of the leaders, if you come up here, if you read the scriptures, if you read a memory verse, if you do anything like that, if you come up here as an usher even, you are a leader in this church. Nobody knows any different. Somebody that stands behind this pulpit, if a stranger walks in here, they say, that's somebody here. I don't know who, but there's somebody. Because not just anybody stands back here. So they recognize that's something special. And you're instantly an example. So we got to keep it up here. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Titus 2, 7. Says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. So what? In all things, Titus, show yourself a pattern of good works. Why? Because they're going to follow it. What's a pattern? Any of you ladies sew? You ever gotten a pattern? I haven't, but I know they do it. But they get that pattern and you follow the pattern as you sew whatever you're sewing together. You're copying it. You're modeling it. That's what a leader is to be, a pattern to follow. You can make yourself like me, and it'll make you closer to God. Not because I'm the epitome of what godly should be, it should be the attitude of a leader, but because I'm walking with Christ and I'm holding the standard up here. So if you follow me, and any leader should be able to say this, if you follow me, you'll be closer to Christ. That's what we should all be able to say. The Old Testament tabernacle was built to the exact pattern that God wanted. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Now, if you've ever read through Exodus and you see God giving Moses the instructions for that tabernacle, I'd be worried, honestly, if I had to like direct that and make sure that everything's being built to that. Now, what Moses got to see was a picture of what's in heaven. I mean, that is what he got to see with his eyes, is what's in heaven. And he came down here and God had prepared some people for, with the skills and the ability to build these things. And I don't know if it went, God said the Spirit filled those men that were able to build those things. But I don't know if Moses saw it being built and he was like, no, that's off a little bit. You're gonna have to fix it like this or that. I don't know if that happened because Moses is the only one that saw it. Now, I don't know what God did for those other men, but Moses saw it, and it had to be built to these exact specifications, exactly how God said. So we're Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. It says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So God says this tabernacle is going to be made after the pattern of what you saw in the mount. What's in heaven, you make it after this same pattern, and you need to see that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed to thee. So he said, you follow this pattern that I've showed you. You know what it is, Moses. You follow that pattern. God expected that of the Old Testament tabernacle. That was the building where they went to worship God, where God dwelt. Now, where do we worship God today? Where does God dwell today? Okay, but where? When we assemble, where? His church, 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God. That's where God dwells. So when we build His church, It better be after the pattern he showed us. We better model it after the pattern he showed us. It should be built after the exact pattern he wants. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:9, if we would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. It says there, 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Now verse 16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." 1 Corinthians 12:27 now. 1 Corinthians 12:27. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." See, we all make up a part of that body. We all fit somewhere, and God has put us here. And now lastly, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So we're lively stones and we're a spiritual house. Now, if you cross-reference that with 1 Timothy 3:15, he says the church of the living God, which is, or the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So the house of God is the church, and we are the lively stones of that. We're the ones that build it and make it up. So if we are the stones, and if it's his church, then shouldn't we model ourselves after the pattern that he set forth in his word? Amen. That's what we need to do. And this is what Paul's talking about many times as we looked when he said, "Hey, follow us as an example. Timothy, show thyself a pattern of good works." Or Titus, whichever one it was he told that to. But this is what we need to be. We need the level to be right here where God says it is. Not down here where, well, so-and-so can be down here. Who cares? Why do you want to follow that then? Wouldn't you rather follow your Savior? And what he said, the pattern after he said. If you were Moses, would you have said, "Well, God said to do it like this, but that's going to be a lot of work. So it'll be easier if we do it this way." How many of you would have done that? Going up on that mountain, you know, the lightning, the thunder coming down, everyone's afraid to even go near it. They said, "Moses, no, 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 we don't want to go near it. You talk to him, you come tell us what he said." And now you're Moses and you go up there and you're like, "Okay, God, show me." In 40 days, 40 nights, God shows him and he's like, "All right, I got the pattern, perfect." Gets back down and he's like, "All right, here's how God said to build it, but I think it'll look better like this. He said to use purple for some of these curtains, but I'm not a fan of purple. We'll go with a dark blue." I think Moses would have died a lot sooner had he done that. I don't know. So who do we think we are that we don't have to follow the pattern after God has set for us? See, if we want to use preventative church discipline, then we need to hold a biblical standard for church leaders and hold it. Not set the standard and then allow lawlessness to take place. All of us should desire to say, "I want God's standard. I want God's standard. I want to shoot for that." I just encourage all of us, look at the standard of 1 Timothy chapter 3. I know it's for a bishop, but there's nothing wrong with all of us striving for that. There's nothing at all wrong with all of us saying, "That's where I want to be. If this is what God expects of his shepherds, then I want to be as close to that as I can." Because Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, and we're supposed to be following him and being built up into his image and having the mind of Christ. Well, that's the mind of Christ. So let's all say, "I want this standard." Not be content with down here or even right here, but say, "No, I want this." Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord.